Your time is over. You got Kyrie for me.
Happy to be back. I've had
enough. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah. And his head was on his hands, leaned over, and the body language is like, I don't care what you think. He doesn't care what I'm saying right now at all.
Yeah. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, YES Network Brooklyn Nets analyst Richard Jefferson, San Diego Union Tribune Chargers reporter Kevin Acey, Bills defensive back Josh Norman, plus Kerry Champion and Jamel Hill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a Wednesday to remember. I am your humble host. That is Chris Brockman across the way.
Hey, buddy.
That is Mike Del Tufo, my audio executive across the way. That is TJ Jefferson, Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, settling into his chair right now after. Did you drain the putt? I didn't notice that.
Of course I drained. That's what I do.
Well, don't say of course.
That's what I do.
It's a dead solid perfect Wednesday. And again, my Twitter feed, I don't know if yours is filled with people who are talking about this and talking about change and talking about emotion, and I feel the same way about Philip Rivers retiring. And wait a minute, hold on. I'm told that's not what people are tweeting about right now.
I love it though. I love Phil like getting that out there like right before everything went down this morning.
I mean,
it's the best.
It listen, when it's time, it's time. And
that's right. That's right.
Dadgummit, as everybody's using that phrase, it's time. It's time. And hey, listen, what better way to start a sports show when you're going up against the inauguration speech that everybody's been waiting to hear? The 46th president of the United States being sworn in right now. Oh, he's just sworn in. And but Philip Rivers has made it official. And the Colts have tweeted out about it, and everyone's tweeting about it. And, you know, Philip Rivers, old school Philip Rivers. Old school Philip Rivers calling up an old beat writer at the San Diego Union Tribune.
Love it. Respect.
Kevin Acey, who's also a columnist for that esteemed publication in Southern California, giving the scoop to the old beat writer. How about that? That's old school stuff right there.
We know Philip's an old school
guy.
Well,
Philip doesn't have his own social media channels and things like that. It's right. You know what I mean? Like, at least he didn't telegraph it in.
Three-eyed Raven.
Three-eyed Raven.
It's just time, is what he told Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune, and it was a fascinating piece. And Kevin Acey is going to be joining us at the top of the second hour to walk us through all that, and then of course talk about the perspective of Philip's career. And this is what we've been talking about for the last several years of his career. You know, is he a Hall of Famer? Let that begin. Anew, and there in my mind is no doubt that Philip Rivers is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, that one day Cage Brockman and my children will be walking through the bust gallery at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see, you know, what I think should be the furrowed brow of Philip Rivers, or if he's going to make his bust, it should be him like barking out some sort of the cleanest smack talk of all time.
Right. Dadgummit.
Did you see J.J. Watt's tweet?
I did.
I mean, and this is just, this is fantastic. J.J. Watt tweeted out a moment that he remembered where Philip, he tweeted out, I'll read it out for the radio audience here. I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phil pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong based off the blitz we were about to run and being 100% correct about it. Ha ha. One of the smartest I've ever played against and a hell of a competitor. And that is,
that's
to me,
so good.
That I'm so thrilled that J.J. Watt tweeted that out, because what he said at the end is exactly what Philip Rivers will be remembered for. One of the smartest players to ever play and a hell of a competitor, like one of the greatest gamers of his generation. Of his generation. Now, Philip will be known for many things. He never won it all, never played in a Super Bowl. Okay. Never led the league in passing, right? Never made an all-pro list. But he has every possible passing record for a franchise that birthed us Don Coryell, who deserves to be in, and Dan Fouts, who was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Never played in a Super Bowl, never won a championship, and also he was All-Pro, and he did have some passing notes of note when he retired, and so does Philip Rivers. He retires 8th all-time and wins 134. Now, you could say wins really isn't that much of a metric because, you know, the Rams won a playoff game this year. The winner of that game in the record books is John Walford because he started.
Right.
Jared Goff finished. You know, he got the hold and the save, essentially.
But we know Philip started and finished all of these games.
And that's another metric here that I'll get to in a second. I appreciate you bringing that up. He retires 5th all-time in passes completed. He retires 5th all-time in passing yards, 63,440.
That's a lot.
And he finishes 5th all-time with 421 touchdowns. That's one better than Dan Marino, who's in the Hall of Fame. The only ones in front of him in that category are Favre, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady, all with 500. And he, as we all know, took over the reins from Drew Brees. And when Brees left via free agency, which is, I guess, the nicest way to put it. But he was shown the door in San Diego. And Philip was drafted in 04 and played only 4 games, no starts, after getting drafted in 04. Got the reins in 06. And then never missed a start. 240 consecutive starts. Second only to Favre. An Iron Man. A gamer. Always answering the bell. In his sole AFC Championship game appearance, looked like he wouldn't be able to go. That 2006 AFC Championship game that he led the Chargers to in his first full year as the starter there. As you know, he had a ruptured knee tendon. Had it removed. Have it removed. Then got out there and played. A gamer. Always answering the bell. Philip Rivers. Throwing with the weirdest throwing motion. He always said that he, you know, he's kind of, when you see it, he kind of has his palm underneath the ball as he throws it. Kind of spun it sidearm, like on a platter in a way. Sometimes he would follow through. And he said he always used to do that, I guess, to throw around certain linemen when he was a kid in Northern Alabama, where he's going to now go back to Alabama and be a high school coach. And the kids of that program have just gotten themselves one hell of a coach. He said he wants to go back home now and get to know the kids before spring practice. And
amazing.
His dad coached him, and his oldest son is in the 7th grade, by the way. He's got 9 kids. His oldest one's in the 7th grade. Oh. You bet he thanked his wife in his retirement announcement. And again, just known for his grit, determination, and passion. I've been fortunate to be the host of NFL Network since 2003. And I have been, I've been there when Philip got drafted, and I'm here now, thank goodness, that I'm here when Philip is retired. And in my 17 years, there's been a ton of players that you could say were better than Philip or have better Hall of Fame resumes than Philip Rivers. Nobody to me that I've met, and I've met a ton of them, nobody to me outside of Favre maybe. And again, it's interesting that he's in the category of Favre as an Iron Man. But just Favre is the only guy I could compare Philip Rivers to in terms of his childlike love of the game and wearing it on his sleeve and being that guy who plays football and acted like he was 7 in the backyard.
The visible enthusiasm.
Right, but also just
unmatched.
Whatever he needs to do. If he's got to throw it lefty or throw it righty or whatever. And you're seeing it in Mahomes right now as a kid, but Philip Rivers always acted like a child for a father of 9. It's interesting, but it just he always had that youthful exuberance. And the one that leaps to me, to mind, I will never forget, 2013. Final Thursday night football game of the year. The Broncos had 11 wins. Okay? They had 11 wins. This was Peyton Manning's second year with the Broncos. His first year with the Broncos, they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, if you remember that, right?
Joe Flacco throw, right?
So Peyton Manning's got 11 wins, and we're basically coronating them the winners of the AFC, depending on how Brady and the Patriots were going to pan out, right? And Phillip Rivers just had come off of his sixth win of the year to make the Chargers 6-7. Okay? That's it. They were 5-7. Now they're 6-7. And it's a short week, and the Chargers are in Denver. Nobody gave him a shot. Nobody. Now, the Chargers' defense balled out that night. They really had Peyton off the spot, off his game. They were 3-and-outing him all night. And Phillip just kept on churning out the yards, put 24 points on the board. Towards the end of the game, he had like some 9-minute drive where he was making every throw, darting every single receiver. And they won. And he comes to the set as our post-game show guest. And he showed up in like these ostrich boots and this bolo tie and lit up the set, like bouncing off the walls, like one of my kids fresh off of eating candy, or when we deign to give them a sugar cereal. Like, this is what I'm seeing. And he's just answering all of our questions with his hands, and like, he's making Mariucci seem like a mute. And we're all feeling the energy from him. And it was just a dynamite interview where, certain quarterbacks could be, certainly in this day and age, I hear what everybody's saying about us.
Right.
And have a spiteful energy or an edge because that's what they need in order to win. But what Phillip needed in order to win was just a set of shoulder pads and a helmet and a roster spot and 10 other guys who wanted to buy into what he was selling. That's Phillip Rivers. And the whole Twitterverse lit up with this interview because everybody felt his infectious spirit through their television sets at home. And the Chargers made the playoffs. They won 2 more games. They went to Cincinnati, beat them, and eventually put a scare into Denver in the divisional round. Peyton got him on that day and then eventually made the Super Bowl where his first snap sailed by his head and Seattle won it. That's the season. But Phillip made the divisional playoff round. And again, I know people will say, well, didn't make the Super Bowl, didn't make the AFC Championship game, didn't go on that run. And that's true. But there's an intangible. And the story of certainly my tenure at NFL Network can't be told without Phillip Rivers. It just can't. And in terms of the Chargers, have at it, Justin Herbert, because that's who you're gunning for. Every single passing metric in the history of the San Diego Chargers and Los Angeles Chargers now, owned by Phillip Rivers. These are all facts. That's my case for Phil. And another thing, too. You could just say this. Speaking of Phil from Southern California, Mickelson took forever. Didn't he take forever?
Didn't he take forever? He had that moniker of, best player to never win a major forever.
And this Phil from Southern California kind of has that moniker in the NFL and retires with it. But, Rivers is one of those guys in the sports world where he's kind of like, Ewing. Wrong time, man.
Yeah.
Wrong time. Like Phil and Tiger, Ewing and everybody else, Malone, everybody else. Now, they made finals, I understand. Wrong time. Tom Brady has made a championship game literally every other year of his career. Every other year of his career. Tom Brady played to get in the Super Bowl. Just a wrong time. It picked the wrong time. And who did he lose to in 06 in that AFC Championship game?
He lost to Tom Brady.
So it's just, if it was another time and there wasn't another quarterback in another franchise that was sitting right there, and Phil could have gotten through once or twice, we would be talking about him in the Hall of Fame in a way, but just that. That's that. We're not even going to have an argument. I'm not even going to have a conversation about it. So, you know,
I don't disagree with you that Phil gets in, but he doesn't get in before Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning, in my opinion.
Well, he might, because Ben's going to keep playing. And Eli might get in before him because Eli didn't play this year. But there will be a case when he's up for being a first ballot Hall of Famer, because Fouts was, and there you could make this case. And I know you don't believe it, and I know a lot of other people might not, and it really depends on, you know, I imagine, I don't know if Kevin, and he's going to come on in hour two, who's the San Diego or Southern California selector that's in the room that will pound the table for Philip Rivers when he's on the table, like whoever was yesterday. I mean, again, as I mentioned during yesterday's show, the vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame was yesterday. And that's, people are still sitting on it. Hey, that information's out there and hasn't been reported yet, and nobody's leaked yet as to who were the ultimate finalists.
We made it one day.
We made it one day.
No, shocker.
We made it one day. Biden's the president. We still don't know. You know, so someone's going to have to pound the table for Phil. But if he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, talk about football gods having a laugh. Could you imagine if Breeze and Philip Rivers go in together? I mean, that's entirely possible.
I actually can't imagine that, Rich.
That's entirely possible because they're both, because Breeze, we're assuming, based on everything that we saw, and Breeze is not going to, you know, call, what was it, Jeff Triplett, who we've had on the show from New Orleans? Like, he's not going to call a beat writer and give it up. Like, he's got an Instagram, he's got a Twitter, he's got NBC Sports, he's got New Orleans Saints.
Right.
You know, that's what he's going to do. And there's going to be a press conference called one day, and he will have his day. And I would imagine that will be when the season's over. You know, when a parade has happened, and whoever wins, then we'll get to hear Breeze. But that would mean, again, that, you know, these two war horses of the aughts and the teens of the 21st football century could go in the hall together. Unreal.
I don't want to take Brockman's argument about telling the story of the NFL, but like Philip Rivers, I agree with you, Chris. I still don't see him as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't see it first. I see Phil probably in the third or fourth round. I mean, how long did Kurt Warner make?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
No, I hear you. You know?
So I definitely think he deserves it. Amazing career.
Right.
I mean, he played in, like you said, kind of unfortunate to play in.
These are all fair things to say.
In the Brady-Roethlisberger era.
I don't think it's fair to say he's not a Hall of Famer, though. That's unfair, and you're hearing that from people. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's a little unfair. He's definitely going to get in, just not in the first round.
Well, who's more deserving than here, Frank Gore? Something to think about for later.
Great question. Let's put that up.
Well, can we just give the man his day for a second before we sports talk radio? Because there is one other aspect of this that I want to talk about, and I will do this later on in the hour. Where do the Colts go now?
Big time.
There's one guy that they're definitely not going to get, and that's Deshaun Watson. That'll be the last place that Houston and Deshaun, if they ever get together and have that conversation, right? Yeah. So we'll discuss that after our conversation next with Richard Jefferson, who's going to join us to talk about Kyrie playing tonight. Kevin Acey will join us. Josh Norman will join us as well. And Carrie Champion and Jamel Hill from Vice TV's Carrie and Jamel Won't Stick to Sports. We're rolling here on a busy Wednesday. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right?
Rich, it's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. In America.
Just, you know, we just
come on.
We're searching for Richard Jefferson. We're hoping he calls, to be very honest with you. So we'll see how that goes. We're waiting for... Kyrie Irving to appear tonight.
Yes,
in Cleveland, Ohio. Big game tonight, huh?
For my fantasy team, this is big.
Well, because Kyrie's on your team, right?
And he hasn't been showing up to work, and therefore my team's been suffering.
You know, he has not been showing up to work. That's one way to put it.
That is one way to put it.
You know, and that's why we're wondering, you know, what's going through Kyrie's mind. And I Zoomed yesterday with Carrie Champion and Jamel Hill. They have a Vice TV show on Thursday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Carrie and Jamel won't stick to sports. And we do talk about Kyrie and ask essentially, like, what's going on with him? I said, I don't know him. And then Jamel told a very interesting story of seeing him over the summer and, you know, and giving us some insight about what goes on between what makes him tick. You know, it's a great conversation. And that's going to be on hour number three. We also talk about Harden and the Nets and everything like that, as well as we don't stick to sports.
Just out of curiosity, Rich, did Carrie or Jamel, did they ask about me?
They did not.
No? Okay.
They did not.
Sure?
But
I
don't. This won't make the Zoom, though. But Jamel Zoomed in first, and then Carrie Zoomed in second. And she showed up, and she's got like this gray silver hair.
Yeah, she's looking like Storm from the X-Men.
And that's
right
now. That's what Jamel said. Hey, Storm.
Wow.
And then Carrie just goes like this. She goes, yeah, well, you got four more days of sunshine. And I'm like, I don't understand that. Like, oh, Storm controls the weather. Mm. Got it.
Yeah.
Right. It's played by Halle Berry,
who's the GOAT.
Who's, you know, next to Mike Del Tufo as two 54-year-olds, as we showed last week.
Yes.
You are the George Blanda to her Tom Brady.
I have no problem.
You know? But that's tonight, man. That's tonight in Cleveland, Ohio, where we'll see how all of them work together. And I am not going to make a single prediction or have a single take on this. I am out of that business.
I mean,
because
I hope Kyrie looks more interested in playing ball than he did on that Zoom presser yesterday.
That body language literally made Jay Cutler look like a marionette. You know, like standing at attention.
Amazing. You're right.
It made Jay Cutler look well-behaved, that body language, with his head on his hands.
Made Jay Cutler look like Phil Rivers.
Yeah, except for Jay Cutler, that was every time you saw him.
True.
He looked like that.
True.
So.
But.
I'm like, hey, Harden and Durant, they got to get out there. They got to get their reps in. They got to go because, you know, in the COVID era, those are the only reps you're probably going to get. You got to get out there. You got to get going. Look at that body language right there. I mean, again, his head on his hand. I mean, honestly, like if my kids were Zooming with their teachers like that, we would be like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And they're not, you know, I would love it if my child was paid as handsomely as Kyrie Irving is paid to show up on that Zoom. And that, you know, and I wish there was a fine system of, well, there is a fine system in our house. If they misbehave like that, there's iPad time that's docked.
There you go.
So if I was in charge, Kyrie would have his iPad taken away. No Roblox for Kyrie.
We're still not sure what was going on with him.
No, so that's true. No idea.
We have there could have been a family issue.
I understand that. But the questions are, what happened? Okay. The questions are, what happened, Kyrie? And if I am a Brooklyn Net fan, if I'm in the Brooklyn Nets management and I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, I want to know an answer. The question was his communication with the team, and the question was, did he break NBA protocols with his with the party that he was seen on video? Yeah, I did. I mean, for somebody who's talking about how his platform can be used for good to the point where he doesn't even know if basketball is the right thing for him to be doing, here's a platform to tell people, mask up. This is what, you know, as of 28 minutes ago, the president of the United States is now going to be saying over and over again. And here's an opportunity to use your platform to do such a thing. And I don't quite get it. That he would sit there and just say, I'm not here to talk about the past, a la my buddy Mark McGuire. And again, I think when it's all said and done, this is just stuff, I guess, for us to talk about before tip-off and before these guys start playing basketball at a very high level. I know I wasn't going to have a take, but I'm going to go in the opposite direction and just say, I saw Harden and Durant
play. They look amazing.
Play like it's, you know, the old, like a Western Conference All-Star team.
Yeah.
And like they play together. And I'm assuming Kyrie's going to come in and we'll figure it out. And there'll be a couple times where it's a final possession. It looks a little bit like a hot mess and we'll figure it out and who's got the shot and who didn't make it and who can make it and whatever. But when it's all said and done, I think, you know, you'll be looking at your one seed going to the playoffs. Your Brooklyn Nets.
There's your take.
I can't help myself. I'm so, I can't help myself. How do you think, you know what I mean? Like who's going to get their you-know-whats together?
But the desert agrees with you. The Nets have become the favorite to win the East now.
Well, I mean, it's a simple thing to say. You're seeing three, you know. I mean, honestly, when my kids were trying to figure out how their fantasy team is going, when everybody's got that O for out next to them because of either COVID or somebody got hurt, honestly, everybody, so many stars of the game are out. I mean, Westbrook's out for a month due to a leg injury, and there's a lot of named players that are out.
I think Tatum is finally back tonight.
Is it tonight or this weekend? I mean, you know. Gallinari's been out for Atlanta since Christmas. I mean, there's just some names that you find familiar to the game. I mean, they're not, and so obviously all of them are, you know, top-notch names, but, you know, you're putting it together. Even, you know, a 9-year-old when he's hearing Kyrie and Durant and Harden are on the same team, like, what? Okay, that's a championship team right there. And then, you know, good thing for the Knicks, they're winning games because they are an afterthought. I mean, and I grew up, as you know, a New Yorker. Okay, great. This is great. They're a plucky team with Obi Toppin and, you know, R.J. Barrett and
Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers is doing well, and Elfrid Payton is, you know, they're playing defense because that's what Thibodeau is all about and all that business. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, that's like Lakers East, Brooklyn, New York. It's Brooklyn, New York, the seat of basketball, not Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Nope. And all I have to say about that, two words, and I know that these have been a phrase that's been used a lot in our day and age, but here's the two words, womp, 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 womp. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
But for the Knicks to be around 500, I mean,
that's great. Yeah, that's huge, great.
That's a huge win.
Absolutely a huge win. Yeah, problem huge is, win. Is there's a behemoth that's across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
A behemoth. And Durant, the closest he came to the Knicks was them using his photograph in season tickets missives to their fans prior to a free agency period that was supposed to be dynamite. But that's Harden saying, I want to go to Brooklyn, and Kyrie saying, that's my childhood team. And now they're going to all three of them be together tonight. So, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to John in Chicago. He's on the phone line here. What's up, John?
Hello, Chris.
No, it's Rich.
Oh, hello, oh, John.
Rich Eisen. I'm sorry. I thought they were going to pass me to Chris or to Brockman because
you could be passed Chris, to him if you'd like, John.
No, Mr. Eisen. I mean, for 6 years.
Jeez, it was the Rich Kofax show for 2 seconds yesterday. So
for 6 years, Mr. Eisen, I've been a big fan of you, listening to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, John.
And I side with you on that SAR rule. Totally sided with you for 6 years. I laughed so much when I saw the game on Sunday with my father. He goes like, no, the Browns are getting the ball. I'm like, nope, he's going to the other team. And listening yesterday for the first time to Chris Sim, he made me do a 180 the way that he was explaining it, that the field of play is given to both teams, and when the coin gets flipped, each team gets their home. So the defense defends their home. And I started laughing yesterday as well because I'm like, oh, my God, I got to side with Chris Brockman. Out of all people, he's making sense right now. And I'm like, Jesus, they made such a good point that they're like, why should we ward stupidity if the offense cannot keep the ball and put it in the end zone? And I was going to say, I don't know if you thought about it or anybody else, but why don't they do like just like when the offense and the defense – make a false start and they wash the penalties and they replay the down. Why don't they do that? Or give the defense the ball, but not at the 20 yard, give it to the 5 yard or 1 yard line, just like you do it with like, what do you do it? With the safeties, I think.
That's not a bad idea. John, I appreciate the call. Thank you for calling in and saying what you say about the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Calling in. First, he thought he wanted to talk to you, and then it sounded like he was misconstruing you with Chris Sims.
I'll take it.
But then he brought it home. John from Chicago brought it all home.
Yeah. Welcome to the dark side.
Hey, John. We kind of touched on this at the end. I'm telling you, I understand Chris Sims is like the 100 yards is everybody's territory, and then the 10 yards after the 100 yards on the respective side of the field is just the home territory of a certain team, and if the other team breaches that territory, they get points. Okay? I understand all of that. I get it. I don't think that a fumble should be totally ignored like it's an offsetting penalty if the ball goes and fumbles it out of bounds. And I understand that you fumble it through the home territory, that should be something, if you will, different. I get all that. But you're not rewarding stupidity for reaching for the pylon. You're penalizing aggressiveness is what you're doing.
I mean,
that's a fact. And what you're doing is you're rewarding failure of the defense. Now on a rarest of occasions, you will see a turnover inside somebody's own 10-yard line, right? On the rarest of occasions, you will see somebody throw an interception, and they're tackled immediately. Usually, if you're throwing an interception from your own end zone, it's a pick six because it doesn't take much for somebody to catch it wherever they catch it inside the 10-yard line and score. Very rare. Sometimes you'll have a fumble inside the five. I get it. I understand that. But 99% of the time, if an offense is inside somebody's 10-yard line, something has happened to the defense that does not deserve the reward if you get the ball because the ball got fumbled an inch beyond the pylon as opposed to 1 inch in front of it. That's the way I will always look at this. And I'm telling you, as a veteran of being told I was insane the way I was viewing the Tuck rule, which was yesterday the 19-year anniversary of the snow game, as you refer to it, and the rest of every other human being calls it the Tuck rule game.
Yeah.
I was told over and over again by the then head of NFL refs, Mike Pereira, and all other owners and other members of the competition committee, we're not changing that. That Tuck rule's in place for a reason. It's in reason because you want to remove the gray area of when somebody is throwing or passing and or running. And I'm like, the whole motion of tucking isn't the line of it is the gray area. You're creating the gray area. The idea of just tucking the ball is the indication that nobody intends to throw it anymore. You're crazy. And then, eventually it gets changed. I'm not saying I'm the only one who's saying it, but I had a microphone on NFL Total Access and then my own pod. And I kept pounding away at it and asked Pereira, hey, Mike, was I right about the tuck rule? I'm right about this one. And I was told yesterday it will be on the competition committee's platter, menu of rules to discuss for another year in a row. If it was not at all possible to change this thing, it wouldn't be on the competition committee agenda. It wouldn't. It would just be, we're done with it.
Okay, this is way down on the list of rules that need amended.
Well,
this happens on one hand per times a year.
Actually, I was told it's happened. You know how many times it happened this year?
How many?
Two. I know. Here's the thing. It always happens with the whole country watching. And it needs to be changed. Ugh. Dude, if this ever happens in a Super Bowl, look the F out. Look out.
What do you mean? It basically
look out. Well, it happened in a playoff game. I'm talking about in the ultimate game where 100 million people are watching and you got to explain to somebody who barely understands fantasy football why the hell that was just no longer the football of the offense. What happened? I'm telling you.
There were how many plays this
Chris,
year? It happened twice.
And how many times?
It doesn't need change.
All it has to do is happen in a big game once. Case in point, we spent an entire year having pass interference as a reviewable penalty.
But that happens a handful of times per game.
I'm just telling you, Chris.
The onside kick rule is more important. Reviewing, roughing the passer and all those penalties,
well,
more important.
This moment in Kansas City with Cleveland.
Come on.
Was the convergence of two of my rule changes I want instituted, the one that we're talking about, ball hitting pylon, and the other is a 15-yard penalty for helmet-to-helmet or personal foul. 15-yard penalties are all reviewable, and that is also in the case of what happened in Kansas City. If it's not called, putting a flag on the field through replay. Bang, bang, these things happen. Even Gene Steratore, who's been terrific for CBS, said during, he's the one who comes out of commercial break and they're showing the helmet to helmet saying this wasn't called. And he basically said, well, there's a lot going on. Ball out, pylon, sideline, touchdown or not. Lots happening.
Right.
You're not noticing in your naked eye helmet to helmet because defender doesn't see what he hits. And that's a penalty in the NFL. And if this was a rule change that I think should be instituted and was in place, I think it was less than 2 minutes to go in the half, Al Riveron in New York could have buzzed in and said, we're taking a look at it. And people would be like, boy, that's ticky-tack or whatever, but that's a penalty. So the ball would have been Cleveland still, but 15 yards further to the home of the Chiefs end zone, first and 10. Ball still belongs to Cleveland. So in the same way that wouldn't be a fumble right at the spot because it went through the end zone, right, and out of bounds. If it had gone out at the one-yard line, it would have been Cleveland's ball, and they would have had it first and goal from the one-inch line. And with a 15-yard penalty, half the difference of the goal would be from the half-inch line. You change both of them, and I think you've got a better game. I firmly believe it, and I'm telling you the way things work in the NFL. Owners hear it, and they're like, I don't know about that. Second year they hear it, they go, I still don't really know about that. Third year, invariably it happens to their team and they suddenly see the light. Fourth year, they're like, okay, let's talk about it. What ideas can we come up with? Fifth year, there's another one. Sixth year, it's going to happen. One day, this will happen.
Two.
Dallas might have a Super Bowl if the catch rule had been different.
It happened twice.
Factual.
All year.
Fact.
I know
it's
that.
A fact.
Twice.
I know that.
Rules don't get changed for things that happen twice out of thousands of plays.
I will take a crisp $1 bill.
Oh,
Rich.
Okay? We're the Dukes. We're the Dukes. A crisp $1 bill. We will place it underneath any of the items that you have on your desk with Del Tufo.
Fantastic.
A $1 bill, and I will, knock on wood if you're with me, we will be on the Rich Eisen Show the year that this gets changed, and it will be a great moment when you hand it to me in a bathroom.
So
just like
TJ,
just
Dan
like
Aykroyd and
trading
Murphy.
Places. Now you guys are out.
I'm definitely Eddie Murphy in a stall in this situation.
You also told me Alex Cora would never be the Red Sox manager again.
I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but I'm right about this.
We'll see.
I've been around the NFL block, sir, and I know the way the things turn, it takes a long time. When we come back, the conversation about Philip Rivers' retirement and what it means for the Colts. And how does that affect the draft, free agency, and more? 844-204-RICH is your number to dial as well.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. We just showed from our archives, Josh Norman jumping over the Bulls.
Very funny.
He ran with the Bulls in Pamplona in the summer of 2019.
Jumped over a couple of them.
Would you do it?
Absolutely not on this planet.
When I was in shape, I would have.
You've seen me run, Mike.
100%.
Seriously?
Young Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Young Rich, well, you wouldn't have done that.
The Rich Eisen Show logo would be splattered with a bull gourd.
Even Young Rich? Like in shape. Well, you're in shape. I'm not in shape, but I mean,
Mike, I've never been able to run fast. Okay,
no,
Mike. Look, I knew at a very early age that I needed to talk sports in order to get where I wanted to go.
Well, that's what I
supposed to
too.
Play. Okay,
same thing with me. I mean, I was spastic. Pardon the expression.
Good use,
as my brother would say.
Oh, my gosh. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take phone calls in a second here. What do the Colts do at quarterback, Christopher? Oof. What do the Colts do at quarterback? Because I'm sure, you know, we had Jim Irsay here on the show, I think in late December. We talked to Jim, and part of him was definitely that we'll take Philip back. You know, we're thinking about Philip. I'm wondering if this was, in fact, an open question. Or one that they knew, similar to what the Saints have known, and they just haven't said anything. You know, they've been down this road with retirements surprising them. Maybe they insisted Philip keep them apprised of everything, so they didn't want to have a moment where they're kind of surprised. Or Philip really was wondering what's going on and did not know if that pass that wound up as a Hail Mary shy of the Bills end zone and super wild card weekend game number one was in fact his last toss in the NFL. I mean,
so they have a few
options.
They
have
our buddy Daniel Jeremiah moved the sticks. He posted a poll on Twitter. Jacob Eason, the former Washington and Georgia quarterback,
he's
is
there.
On their roster.
Right.
They can go with him. They could trade for Sam Darnold. They're picking 21 in the draft right now. They could trade up and possibly take Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Those guys are going to be there. Or they could maybe wait and hope Mac Jones falls to them in the first round. Right now, his poll, almost 20,000 votes, 45% say trade for Sam Darnold. I don't know if that's on the table. Would you give
is
up?
Is Brissett not even an option, right?
I don't think so. But does the number 21 pick? Obviously, the Jets say yes, but you don't give up 21 for Sam Darnold.
No. You give up maybe your second rounder for Sam Darnold. Or get ready for this one. Get ready for it. Again, I have no idea what
54,
the cap...
54, maybe 54, 85
I
might get
no
Sam Darnold.
I have no idea what the cap ramifications are of it. Or why would you saddle yourself with the big fat contract like this? But Carson Wentz is sitting there, and there is no doubt in all NFL circles. Name one. Name an NFL circle. Talent evaluators, management, media. Everybody thinks it was the special sauce of Frank Reich with Carson Wentz.
The special sauce of Frank Reich.
By the way, that's a great 30 for 30. What if I told you Frank Reich had a special sauce?
What if I told you?
And it was Carson Wentz who had his best years with Frank Reich there. on the staff in Philadelphia, and that Josh McDaniels, who may be the one to replace Doug Peterson,
maybe
jilting the Colts at the altar, got Reich off of that staff. And he's in Philadelphia. He's now in Indianapolis, and they have a wide open spot at quarterback. So, I mean, the luck talk, will that even, do you think that will even get any run anywhere?
I think it'd be crazy to think that Jim Irsay hasn't called Andrew.
Yeah, just say.
Hey, bud, how you feeling?
Yeah, how's your sabbatical?
How you feeling?
Did you enjoy your time in your European vacation or whatever's going on?
When was the last time
how many books
have
you read during the quarantine? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
How's your 40?
I don't even know if that's going to get any run at any point. I guess we may have just given it the most run at all. So.
Maybe.
What are the free? How about Jameis?
He looked pretty good in that one throw.
How about Anthony Mackie saying that yesterday, the actor Anthony Mackie, diehard Saints fan, saying that Sean Payton would rather lose with Breeze than win with Jameis? How about that comment?
I mean,
I don't know if is he giving any voice to a section of Saints fans? Sure sounded like he did.
Whatever the Colts do, they got to make the right choice because that team is good right now.
What about
Andy Dalton?
I don't think the Cowboys would. Than a one-year deal there?
I think we're going to hang on to him.
I think it was just a one-year for
him. How about Cameron?
I don't think Cameron's.
I'm just saying, man, this is an intriguing. The fact that Phillip has left a large quarterback spot open for a team, as you point out rightfully, TJ Jefferson, that's got a window now.
I mean, receivers, the running backs.
And Chris Ballard is as good a GM as there is, and that is a solid – well, I shouldn't say that. Solid's a bad word. That's a highly ensconced – they're not going anywhere is what I meant.
Ensconced.
That's what I meant by solid. I didn't mean that I wasn't rating their abilities. I'm just saying that it's rock solid. They're not going anywhere, right? Coach isn't going anywhere. General manager not going anywhere. Owner's not going anywhere.
Young team.
That's right. Ready to go. Ready to roll. Who do you
with
go
the Rich
with?
Rich Kofax show.
And I'm telling you what. Sam Darnold being available, it's a perfect spot for him. It's a perfect spot for him. Colts and Jets made trade. I mean, they made the trade that allowed the Jets to get up to the Colts spot to get Sam Darnold. So here they go. They get to move down. Quentin Nelson's in their fold, now protecting Sam Darnold. They get the best of both worlds, and the Jets get Deshaun Watson. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm like clicking my heels together. There's no place like home.
By the way, Deshaun's in New York. He was at the Nets-Bucks game.
Oh, Rich.
Yeah, that picture from yesterday, he was in a cab that I think said New York.
Yeah. NYC.
I don't know if he was in a cab. I imagine there's a certain courtesy car that Deshaun Watson was in.
I don't know. It looked like his knees were pretty close to them.
No. That was an SUV.
Okay.
Kevin Acey, who got the scoop on Philip Rivers' retirement. Josh Norman of the Bills, coming up, hour two.